Mother Nature is beautiful, but she's also dangerous. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It is Patrick Murphy. Hi there, Murph.
Hey, Laura, how are you?
I'm glad you are here.
Me too.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're talking about some dangerous plants you need to avoid, like giant hogweed, which is so toxic. The U.S. government officially dubbed it a noxious plant. It can burn, scar, and even blind you. And it's not the only scary plant out there.
Yeah, this is a strange one, and the Dean of Green made a point of showing myself this plant out at the Funk's Grove Nature Center on one occasion.
So it's out there. We can run into it.
It's a prairie plant. You could find it in an unnaturalized rough on your property where you don't mow, or maybe you only mow every couple of years if you're in that setting, or if you have a ditch that is too steep to mow, or the municipality mows it, it could be in there. And it's oftentimes confused with a wild carrot because of the manner in which it grows, kind of like a big celery cluster.
It looks, it has flowers that it looks like Queen Anne's lace. So it looks,
I agree.
It's like enticing and beautiful, but it's deadly.
Yeah.
Well, not deadly. It's dangerous.
It can really give you a hard time.
Yeah.
And, just think if you were a student from ISU out doing some prairie restoration work at Funk's Grove or with the Parklands on some of their property.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just hustling some work on your own, and when this kind of work is done, whether it's casual labor or it's intensive labor, you're perspiring,
mm-hmm.
and your hands are tacky and your gloves and things like that, and you make the mistake of grabbing a hold of this plant to pull it out of the ground. Say you're doing some work for someone, clearing a pasture or preparing an area for landscaping, and mm-hmm. if you don't know what this plant looks like and you were to grab a hold of it and then make the mistake of wiping sweat from your face or using the washroom?
Uh-oh!
Man, you got problems.
Yes,
you
do.
You got problems, and this can poison your blood to some degree.
Now, what is it? Is it like little fibers on it, or is it like there's some sappiness to it that's causing that problem? What's going on
there? My understanding is it's more likened to, say, poison ivy or poison oak.
Oh.
That it has a residue on it, and all plants are filled with liquid, and there lies the problem. I don't know if the hogweed is something similar to poison ivy, where some people can literally eat the stuff.
Oh!
I know.
That's horrible!
I know. And they just don't get it. Then the other extreme are individuals like myself. Like, if I go out and work, I have to be real careful about how I remove my work clothes so that I don't touch the cuffs down by my ankles and where my boots meet my pants. I don't want to touch that, because I'll freaking get poison ivy.
It's evil. It's evil.
Yeah. Poison oak's not so common. Let's just kind of talk about those. We got the poison oak and poison ivy in the Midwest.
Yeah.
We got the hogweed. And it can get into your system to the extent that it almost stains your blood and you can see the veins through the skin. And I saw some photographs of a person that got it around their head and neck. Again, they probably wiped the sweat away, and then it started getting down the small of their back, the crease over your spine.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a science fiction, photograph or something. It was very spooky. It actually looked painful.
I'm freaking out.
So I think people need to take the time to contact Extension and do their own household research to understand what this plant looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's true for poison ivy. Poison oak as well.
All right, but what about something called poisonous persimmons?
Again, bad news. It's bad news. You can grab a hold of it by accident or after you've already broke it loose from the ground, say with a string trimmer or a scythe or a sickle. You're a landscaper working on an installation crew and you knock it down with a shovel. And then when you're collecting all of that debris to set it in a disposal container, you come in contact with it. Boom, it's that easy. It's just like the hogweed, the ivy, and the oak. It's just that contact. It has to be avoided. Again, you want to take the time to understand what this plant looks like. It's not common, but it is bad news. You'll wish you had poison ivy.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's danger growing right under our feet. And, if you burn these plants, do they release anything into the air that could be toxic?
Poison ivy and poison oak definitely can. A lot of times when trees are brought down or fence lines are cleared, their poison ivy has grown into a woody vine that crawls up the side of the tree. And, thus the ivy, part of the name, right? But it looks a little different once it's mature on the ivy, on the vine, than it does when it's just starting to kind of come up out of the soil on the forest floor. again, that's something that avoiding them and mitigating that hazard is just knowing what it looks like. But back to your question, people chop up that wood for disposal or burning or removal. And even though it's just this woody vine with all these little fibrous tendrils on it and such, you can still get poison ivy from touching that. And you don't have to come in contact with the foliage necessarily.
Oh, wow.
So now, say you get this big pile of logs and stuff that are too big to move away, and you're in a location where you can burn legally and safely, you could definitely get a respiratory injury from breathing in the smoke from almost all noxious plants. So when we're talking about noxious plants, it also reminds me of some of the issues that could be found with needled evergreens, like junipers, for example. Some individuals, because of their allergies or skin sensitivities, they could have a problem coming in contact with the prickly needles of a juniper. It can leave a rash. It doesn't usually splinter off, you know, and leave something in the skin. But there are lots of cases where individuals, again, that are involved in the industry at some level, and they come in contact with it and they get a painful rash from that. And I've even heard of people having sensitivities to varieties of sumac.
Sumac? Oh, well, yeah. Well, certainly I've heard of poison sumac.
Yeah, so we've got that. That's not really common here, but sumac is common here. And it's something that you might encounter as a centerpiece to a container in your landscaping. And you buy it at the nursery, like a tiger eye sumac, among others, are really popular. And they have a pollen that's very... it travels like all granular pollen does. But when you plant that around Mother's Day, the pollen is all over that thing. And some people maybe have a little irritation on their forearms or their hands. And again, you know how it goes, just like with the poison ivy, your hard day's work and wiping the brow is part of standing back and admiring your accomplishments. But That's when you could be spreading some of that irritant onto your face and your eyes where your skin is very sensitive. And then I also think about noxious plants in the form of the ones that invade things like sewer lines and water lines.
Is
typically specific to certain types of plants, like willow and silver maple are the ones that seek out our drains and stuff. And they harm us indirectly that way because no one wants their bathroom not to work.
That's a very good point.
Right, right. So, you know, if you are a person that has noticed that you have sensitivities to yard work, during certain times of the year, it might be more allergy related, but in some cases, there are also firs and dwarf spruces that have this prickly needle that bites.
Ah!
You know, because some needles are described as a soft needle and they don't bite you. But sometimes the prickly needle that leaves a little pokiness, It can irritate the skin.
I prefer it when nature doesn't bite back.
How about that? Me too.
Well, you know, it's a lot of things to bear in mind. We have to be careful when we're out there. You know, I think probably good advice to wear long sleeves, to wear good, thick gardening gloves. And my best advice is call somebody and have them handle it.
Just hire it out. For sure,
because
it's just another one of those things that could possibly take the joy out of something that you really love.
Yeah, you go out there and you're having a good time and you're digging away, and then suddenly you hurt yourself and then you don't want to do it anymore. So that's perfectly understandable. Hey, thanks a lot for your advice, Murph. We really appreciate it. Next week on GLT's Grow, Brian from LaGrange, Illinois needs help with a struggling hibiscus. We'll take that question. We'd also like to hear your gardening questions. If you'd like Murph to tackle it, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. Fill in the form and send it along to us. Maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.